Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, September the 18th. Today, we're going to talk with our friend Tom Washington. Tom, of course, has been on our show several times. He's well known here in North Texas as a GOP leader. I kind of refer to him as a citizen politician. He's one of those people who is very involved in politics and knows a great deal about what goes on in our political field. So we'll be talking about Texas, and you know, we have important elections coming up here, the Cruz O'Rourke election. That seems to be topping all the attention across the country. Speaking of that election, there was a poll that came out today showing Ted Cruz leading Robert O'Rourke 54-45, a 9-point lead. I think that's the biggest spread that I've seen in any recent polls. The other polls, Governor Abbott running a pretty big lead on Miss Lupe Valdez, Dan Patrick and George B. Bush. I really have not seen any polling data. I'm going to assume that those are pretty safe in their reelection. So we'll look at Texas. We'll look at Texas in 2018 and what Tom has to say about that. Just very quickly, I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning. You know, with all the attention on Judge Kavanaugh, one fellow doesn't seem to be getting a lot of attention, and he should be, and that's Keith Allison up in Minnesota, who has serious allegations of women problem up there in his life. So hopefully the media will get around to him because he's got some challenges. And it's showing up a little bit in the polls up there because he's not doing perhaps as well as they expected him to do. He's running for attorney general up in Minnesota. Let me say hello to our friend Tom Washington. How are you, Tom?
Very good. Thank you, Sylvia. Appreciate being invited on.
Well, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. How did you like my description of you as a citizen politician? I thought that was pretty cool.
I think it's accurate. I think it's a good description. I tend to be a little bit retro, and most of my activities are done as a volunteer.
No, I know. We see you so much everywhere. Are you right now? What are you doing right now?
Well,
what role are you playing with
I was
the party
the,
right now?
I was the Republican Party state treasurer
right.
up until mid last year, and I was asked here recently to serve as the treasurer for the Denton County Republican Party. So that's my official role. Otherwise, I'm also working inside of a PAC fund that a friend of mine and I formed. And the purpose of the PAC fund is to try to do a better job of educating the voter in nonpartisan contests when nonpartisan candidates come out and try to obscure their record and convince voters that there's something they're not. So we've actually gotten involved in some races through that North Texas PAC for Trust, Honesty, and Integrity, and have been able to make a difference in some of them.
Well, good. I'm happy to see that. Before we get to Texas, let me just bring up the topic of Judge Kavanaugh, who obviously is being put through, I think, a tremendous injustice here going back 30 or 35 years, but this is how the Democrats play the game, and this is how they do it. What is your impression in all of this with the judge and this accuser?
Well, you know, we're suffering a little bit from lack of information because we can only get the information that's presented. But on the face of it, it seems like maybe going back to high school is a little bit too far. I mean, I would hate to get brought up on charges for, happening, you know, if a little girl fell off the playground next to me and someone thought I pushed her. This gets a little bit ridiculous. I've heard some rumors that the accuser and her family had some legal fights with his mother when she was a judge, and his family, he denies even being at the party that's the subject of this. Of course, the Democrats and mainstream media have already convicted him because he's accused. And, he's going to have to prove he's innocent, not them prove he's guilty. And I hate that about the Me Too movement. frankly.
I know.
It's being used now as a political bludgeon.
That's exactly right, and I think it's very unfortunate because in this particular case, this is a man who, whatever happened 35 years ago, I don't have a clue, but this is a man who has done really quite well in the public eye. You know, he's been a judge several times. He worked for President Bush, 43, that is, and this is a man who's had something like 6 FBI background checks. And they never even picked this up. And anybody who knows what an FBI background check is, it's pretty complete. And I've had friends of mine who've gone through them, and they said they learned things that they had forgotten they had done. So,
well, and you contrasted it with Keith Ellison up in Minnesota, who has some well-documented problems that the news media is not talking about. And,
That's right. You
know, it's really a shame that the news media gave up their independence in 2008 when they decided to stump for Obama for president. And, you know, once that independence is gone, it can never be recovered. And
That's right. Do
the public a disservice when they become just a arm of the Democratic Party.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, and especially on these sex accusations, because – you know, once you are accused this way, this is always going to be in Google, if you know what I mean. Somebody 10 years from now, and this is what happened to those young men at that school in Virginia who were accused. I mean, they were found not guilty, but if you were just doing a research paper, it comes up, the articles come up. And unless you know the outcome of what happened, you know, you just read that these young men were accused. So it reminds me of that great line from Secretary Donovan, I think it was, in the Reagan administration, who was found not guilty. And then as he was coming out of the courthouse, he says, "Where do I go to get my reputation back?" And and that's really true in these accusations.
Well, we should give these charges the respect they deserve when there's actual documentation. But when there's lack of documentation, we really need to be skeptical.
Right. And in this particular case, really, for me, the issue here is everybody's comparing this to Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. But Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, whatever happened between them, and I don't really care to know, I believe Clarence Thomas, but whatever happened between them happened when they were like in their late 30s, early 40s. So they were both adults. In this particular case, we're talking about a 17-year-old boy and a 15-year-old girl. You know, that's, in my opinion, way too much. You know, way too.
And why isn't
too far back.
Why isn't President Clinton the poster boy for the Me Too movement? I mean, with all his problems,
sure.
He's still revered by the Democrat Party and seems to have gotten the proverbial pass for all of
absolutely.
His activities.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And again, the case of Keith Ellison is the perfect case. I mean, there's some very strong evidence there against him, and for some reason they're forgetting about him. Well, let's talk a little bit about Texas. Actually, an election year again, and the national race, what everybody's talking across the country, I get all kinds of messages from friends asking about Cruz and O'Rourke. That one today is 54-45 in the very latest poll of likely voters. The Kinakapik or Kinikpiak, whatever the name of that poll is. I think it's a university in New York that does those polls. But anyway, 9-point lead. I think that, in my mind, closer to what I thought would be the eventual turnout or the eventual result. I predicted 10, 9. Well, it's a little closer to what I predicted. But anyway, how do you see the elections this year here in Texas? Give me your general feeling and then specifically some of these races, Tom.
Well, you know, in the absence of the Cruz-O'Rourke race, things would seem to be progressing along the lines that they usually do, with the appearance of overwhelming Republican victories in the areas that demographically vote Republican and Democrat victories in the areas that typically vote Democrat. Now, in my particular corner of Texas, in Southeast Denton County, We're seeing more people move into this area from traditionally liberal areas of the country. And so we're seeing this, some of those demographics and voting trends changing and as more liberal voters flood into conservative areas. And we plan to do our very best to keep our turnout up, which, and turnout, as you know, is always the key to winning elections. And I think that the Cruz O'Rourke race is something that the Democrats are counting on to increase their turnout and perhaps pull swing voters over to their side during the general election.
Now, one of the, you know, one of the interesting things about Robert O'Rourke, or Beto O'Rourke, as he likes to be called, but, you know, whatever, O'Rourke, one of the interesting things about him is that he is not really campaigning in the center. I've had several people point this out to me, including there was a column here in the New York Times, I mean, in the Dallas Morning News recently about this, that he is really maintaining his liberal credentials against the NRA, against the AR-15, the attack on the police the other day that he... So, I mean, he's not really moving to the center. And that I find interesting. There was a story, a national story, basically saying this is no way to win in Texas. I'm paraphrasing the columnist. So he is not moving to the center. He is staying in left field, Tom.
I would agree and disagree at the same time. Mm-hmm. The reason I would agree is when you can get him to talk about something of substance, he is staying true to his Democrat socialist policies. But most of the time he's making very emotional, very general statements. And he seems to be campaigning more like President Obama did in 2008 when he's trying to appeal to voters based on emotions. And he's been compared to Kennedy. You know, he's Irish, not Latino at all. And so he kind of looks like a sort of Irish Kennedy. And, you know, this is a version that has a very popular appeal to many people in the Democrat Party and also swing voters that buy into the whole Kennedy American royalty argument. I think when the debates start and Cruz has an opportunity to get some free media, which he's had very little of, most of the free media you see is focusing on O'Rourke, then voters will be able to start seeing the real difference between O'Rourke and Cruz. And if Senator Cruz can successfully get his message over to the voters, then perhaps they'll start to view O'Rourke as the Democrat socialist liberal candidate that he is.
Well, one of the questions that I, you know, I recommended to one of the reporters, not for this particular debate coming up, but in general, a friend of mine who's a reporter was asking me for some ideas of questions. And I said that one of the questions that I would ask Robert O'Rourke, if he was on my podcast or I had a chance to talk to him, is to explain to the Hispanic community his vote on abortion, what happened earlier this year when in the House of Representatives in Washington there was a vote to ban abortion after 20 weeks. And as you know, it came down pretty much of a party vote in the House. And that to me is a question that I would ask him, and I hope that Senator Cruz brings it up, because that is a deal breaker with Hispanics. That's what happened to Wendy Davis. That is a real problem. Abortion is a real problem with Hispanics. The same is true of same-sex marriage, but abortion even more. Hispanics are very conservative by nature, very religious people, particularly the ones in South Texas. So that, to me, is a question that I hope he will answer. He has avoided the abortion issue. He has avoided a lot of those issues. And the only time I've heard him speak, and I have not heard him many times, to be honest, I'm looking forward to the debate because I want to see this man speak. But the only time I've ever, just recently, he was being interviewed, and he said, well, we believe in great things, and we want to do great things. Well, you're right. That sounds a lot like Obama. That sounds a lot maybe like a Robert F. Kennedy when he ran in 68. But I'm not sure you can get away with that in a debate. I mean, at some point, you know, Ted Cruz is going to say, okay, you believe in great things like what? And I think that hopefully that's where Ted Cruz can land a few punches, Tom.
Well, I'll point out that President Obama, when he was serving in the Senate, also voted against curbing abortion under under any circumstances, even after birth. And yet I believe he received a majority of the Latino votes in both of his elections. Now, it did rebound against Wendy Davis, but Wendy had other other problems. So, yeah, it's a great idea, and I think that everybody should know where Ted Cruz stands for life and where Robert O'Rourke stands for, as the Democrats would say, the mother's rights over the life of her baby, unborn baby.
That's right. That's right. And if you remember, in 2016, Hillary Clinton ran a very effective radio campaign in many of the Hispanic communities, the radio ads in Spanish. And it loosely translated to, I support this. I am with her because she believes in this. But they never ran an ad in Hispanic radio or Spanish radio saying, I am with Hillary because she supports Roe v. Wade. They never ran that, because that is really a loser issue for the Democrats. When you get into heavy Hispanic communities, whatever the community may be, whether it's Cuban American in Florida or more Mexican American in Texas, that is a tough issue, and hopefully that will come up in the gun issue too, the gun control and NRA and AR-15. I believe that Mr. O'Rourke recently said that AR-15s should not be sold. Well, that's, again, that's a pretty idiotic thing to say, and not just in Texas, really anywhere. But hopefully these things will come up. I don't know who's going to be asking the questions, but hopefully some of these issues will come up instead of spending the whole time talking about impeaching Trump or something like that, Tom.
Well, I've noticed, because I've been down in South Texas and seen Democrats talk to their large groups of Latino voters, and I see them tend to emphasize qualities like standing up for families and standing up for faith and things like this, that truly when you see them at other campaign stops, they don't really believe in. And and it always frustrates me how Latinos sometimes can't discern when these candidates get up and tell whoppers.
I agree. It really, believe me, it frustrates me too. It frustrates me too, because they are voting for people with whom they have very little in agreement on many issues. But anyway, that's this particular poll shows Senator Cruz at 45% with Hispanics. That's about what Abbott got, or Governor Abbott got in 2014. Or some number like that.
I think in 2014, I think Governor Abbott crossed the 50% mark.
He did? Okay.
With,
well, that
Cecilia, his wife, beside him. I'd have to research that to know for sure, but that's kind of a recollection.
No, but you may be right, because I thought he ran a very effective campaign with Hispanics, but clearly the Wendy Davis record on abortion did not play well south of Austin, as I like to say, in South Texas. Well, let's look at some of the other races.
Well, I want to make one last point
to
your audience. Senator Cruz is the only Latino in that race.
That's
he's
right.
Cuban origin.
That's right.
And he espouses the values that I think the Latino community wants to see from their elected officials.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, like me, he was born in the United States, wherever. And I was actually born in Cuba, but we both have that that Cuban American story. And I've met his father, Rafael, many times, and I know exactly what his dad went through. And so, yes, I agree. But I think that this may be an opportunity for Senator Cruz to really, you know, make a difference, because if you look at the poll, if you look at the primary, getting back to O'Rourke for a second, if you look at the primary, there were two candidates who ran against Mr. O'Rourke in the Democrat primary. And both of them were from South Texas, and they got almost 40% of the vote. So there might be an opportunity there for Ted Cruz with that community down there. I don't know what exactly they're doing. I just hope they understand that family values, abortion, those issues are big in the Hispanic community. And that's why, as you indicated, the Democrats never touch those issues when they go south of Austin, Tom.
I'll also point out something that's very important. Senator Cruz right now does not have the amount of money to campaign with that
yes.
Robert O'Rourke does. He's getting money from the George Soros crowd. He's getting mm-hmm. money from the national coffers of Democrat contributors everywhere, because they see him as possibly mm-hmm. their hope to start a blue wave mm-hmm. in Texas. Now, the Cruz O'Rourke race will be at the very top mm-hmm. of the ballot. So typically, if there's a large swing, sometimes that race would have coattails. And this is actually the last election where people can vote a straight party ballot that will
That's
no
right.
longer be available after this election.
Mm-hmm.
It's been outlawed by the legislature. So it's a very important race for the entire Republican ballot, and Governor Abbott actually has more money, I believe, to campaign on than Senator Cruz does.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
Rare.
That's right. Abbott, as I read recently, he's very well financed. But I tell you what, our time is flying. But I do want to spend a couple of minutes on the other races. As I mentioned, Governor Abbott, who looks like he's going to be reelected, depending on what poll you look at, anywhere from 14 to 23. We remind the audience that the last time he won by 18 points. I'm assuming he's going to win and win fairly easily. The same with Patrick and Bush. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I believe that Governor Abbott's opponent mm-hmm. doesn't have the money to put together an effective statewide race.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that candidates that are running statewide in the Democrat Party are going to have to depend on some kind of coattail effect from the race at the top of the ballot in order to show any success.
That's right. That's right. And one of the things that she's also, I mean, to be kind and generous, she's not very telegenic. She's not a good campaigner, and I think you saw evidence of that when the Democrats had their runoff, Tom. You remember they had 419,000 votes in a runoff. It was the lowest turnout since the 1920s, and there were obviously a lot less people back then. So I don't sense a lot of excitement in the Democrat race for governor. I do sense it, of course, for Beto, and you see his yard signs all over town. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, it is, and generally speaking, most people will tell you that yard signs don't win elections. And the reason you don't see quite as many Cruz yard signs is his political staff knows that that's not an effective way to spend your money.
Yeah.
Beto has literally so much money coming out of the coffers mm-hmm. of that campaign that he's able to run these television ads on all the major stations and has been running them for weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's getting more free media than Ted Cruz is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any attempt to balance that in any way. So
let me ask you one. Go
sure,
ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm going to ask you this because you make a very good point about the money, and you certainly see all the yard signs, and I know what you mean about elections are not decided by yard signs. I think we've all seen examples of that over the years. But here's the question I would ask to you and in general. The Cruz is underfunded compared to O'Rourke. O'Rourke is basically hitting all the markets, making his message, delivering his message, and yet he's losing. I mean, according to this poll, he's losing anywhere from 5 to 9. I mean, pick whatever poll you like. So at some point, it seems to me, a lot of these national Democrats are going to look at this and say, you know what? He's not going to win, but we need that money in Nevada. We need that money in Arizona. And we need that money in Florida because we got to save those seats or we got to pick up those seats. So you could see that happening around October 1st, October 15th, where the money starts to dry up a little bit because they assume that he's not going to win. Because you're right, he's getting a lot of free media. He's getting a lot of – you see him everywhere, but the numbers, he's always under 45% in any poll I've ever seen, Tom.
Well, you know, I guess to that point, if Senator Cruz does get reelected by 10% or more and – the Democrats continue to spend their money in Texas, we might look back at this and say this was really good for the national Republicans because that money might have been more effective in other races.
I've heard that before.
The Senate could turn Democrat if two seats flip. And fortunately, most of the seats that are up are held by Democrats and not Republicans. Mm-hmm. And the Cruz seat was not expected to even be in play. Mm-hmm. So that's startling. Now, over on the House, it takes more seats to flip, but there's a lot more Republicans running in districts won by Clinton than Democrats won in districts won by Trump. So they feel better about their chances in the U.S. House,
right?
It would be very fortunate for President Trump if he was able to keep Congress firmly on his side for the last 2 years of his first term.
Right, and you know, on that particular topic, I have a post coming out tomorrow saying that we have seen over the last 30 days, over the last couple of months, with the Democrats, it's almost like the ghost of the future. We can take a look at the future, this insanity with Judge Kavanaugh and all the insanity of her impeachment, and people may be asking themselves, do we really want these people running Congress? So I actually think that the Kavanaugh problem could boost turnout for Republicans. I really do. And maybe save a few of those House seats. I also think President Trump is committed to saving them, so I hope he gets out and save them. Here's what I like to do. We're just about out of time now. Let's do this maybe in a couple of weeks because I would like to maybe on the next show devote a little bit more time to some of the House elections here in Texas and maybe some of the state Senate elections that could be interesting in 2018. So why don't we do that? Let me schedule you a couple of weeks in the future, maybe after the debate or so, and let's touch base on a couple of other issues beyond Cruz and O'Rourke. How's that?
Oh, that'd be fine. I'd be happy to do that for you.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. As always, it's a great honor to have you on the show. The only thing I don't have is enough time. You know how that works. So I have to play with the time, but I think we were able to get a lot of good information in. And as always, keep up the great work that you do. I'm going to send you the link so you can share it with your friends and tell any candidate who's running for office that if they would like a podcast, I'd be happy to do it for them.
Well, you should have some takers.
I hope so.
Because there are a lot of good campaigns going on or people mm-hmm. need the exposure.
Well, one of the beauties of our show is that since we're not actually going over the air like a regular radio, you get a podcast, so you can share it with you can put it on your website and people can mm-hmm. hear you, you know, so that's usually one of the reasons that, at least in the past, other candidates have agreed to do it. Have a great afternoon, Tom. And hopefully we'll talk very soon here in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much, Sylvia.
My pleasure. Tom Washington, one of my good friends here in North Texas, a talent, a person that I value a great deal when it comes to his political thinking, his political wisdom, and somebody that I always talk to when we have elections in Texas, because he knows what we're talking about. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll have a few closing thoughts. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Again, thanks to my friend Tom Washington for sharing some thoughts with us today. We have obviously a month and a half of campaigning, so a lot of things could change, but I was very happy to see that Senator Cruz has gone up by 9 points in this very last poll here of likely voters. I think that's a good sign, obviously, for many of us that want to see Senator Cruz reelected. Governor Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Patrick and State Agricultural Commissioner Bush, they seem to be doing well. But in our next show, I want to get into a little bit of some of the local races and what's happening in some of the House races across the state. You know, obviously, we need to preserve every Republican seat that we have if we want to keep the House. So I want to hear from Tom as to some of these seats around the state that he's following. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.